Welcome back to another episode of Mind Your Body. I am sitting here just smiling and giddy after talking to Katie Hendricks about the body intelligence approach to relating, and so lucky and grateful that she has brought over 40 years of work and wisdom that she's done with her husband, Gay Hendricks, and has shared a lot of that in this conversation today. It's just, I feel very uplifted from her energy and her passion around this work and just creating more love in this world, especially because that is my deepest mission in my work that I do through relationships and dance therapy. And I've got to say that hearing her speak about all these practices that she's had has given me such powerful validation that my work is also really amazing. I mean, of course, I'm confident about my work, but there's always a little part of you that's like, am I doing things okay? And so it was really, really validating to hear that we really align in a lot of our approaches. So on that note, I just want to remind you that doors for my Let Love In program are open and early bird ends in 2 days. So if you are interested in enrolling in this program to heal your trauma and rewire your nervous system and break lifelong unhealthy patterns so that you can create healthy, lasting relationships without sabotaging, without second guessing yourself, and allowing yourself to be unapologetically you as you soften into the most amazing version of yourself, that's what Let Love In will create for you, with you, not for you. You've got to do the work as well. So the enrollment period is happening right now. If you want to see if you're a good fit for the program, you have to book a free and obligation-free relationship review with me. That is actually the process that everyone must go through if you want to do the program. And if you want to get early bird pricing, please book your call by July 23rd. We don't have to meet by July 23rd, but as long as you submit your booking for the relationship review by July 23rd, we can still meet after, and you will have still locked in early bird pricing. I will leave the link to all of the details of Let Love in the show notes so you can look around. And if it sounds like this is exactly what you need right now, please do book a free and obligation-free relationship review call with me. All right, on to the interview. I'm so excited. Let's get into it. This is Mind Your Body, a dance movement therapy perspective on the integration of our emotional, cognitive, physical, and spiritual aspects of our being into one more aware and whole existence. Okay, here we are. Oh, forget about that new thing. Okay, so here we are back with Mind Your Body. And today we have the pleasure of having Katie Hendricks. Welcome back, Katie. You were here on the podcast several years ago, and I'm so excited to have you back today.
Well, congratulations on having your podcast flourishing, and I'm happy to be with you.
Thank you. So if you could introduce yourself briefly, just let us know who you are and what you're all about.
All right. Thank you. Well, my professional name and my given name is Kathleen Hendricks, but everybody calls me Katie. And I was just remembering this morning that I went to my first dance therapy conference 50 years ago, and in 1971, and it was called What is Dance Therapy Really? And I find that that question is still very relevant. I wanted to let you know that when I got involved with dance therapy, there were no graduate schools. I was Joan Chodorow's first student and kind of came into the profession just sort of by participating. And, you know, that's a whole story in itself. But I started in the psychiatric medical group. So I really learned how to use movement with people with whom you would usually give medication. And so learning how movement could be so helpful to help people locate themselves, regulate their feelings, get in touch with other people. So out of that, I've been participating in, and I've studied with Ermengarde Bartenieff and Trudy Shoup, but my main mentor was Mary Whitehouse, and Joan was a student of Mary's, and I was a protege of Mary's in the last 3 years of her life. So my orientation toward movement is really about the language of movement, giving ourselves the value of movement, that movement has consciousness, and that when we tune into movement, that illuminates all of the other areas of our lives. And I've been passionate about movement all of these years, and my specialty has really been translating movement concepts that we talk about and use, like commitment, translating those into movement processes. So all of our books, I've co-written 12 books with my husband, Gay Hendricks. And one of them is actually called The Moving Center, which is about using movement for learning, using movement in the classroom. But I've also written one of our best known books is Conscious Loving, which has been continuously in print for over 30 years now. So I think that's probably enough of my bio for right now, but I'm very passionate about how people can enjoy being alive and value the experiences in their body, adding to their, not only their general aliveness, but their ability to have thriving relationships.
Yes, yes. And we're gonna talk about all of that today. Thank you so much for your intro. And I don't think it's enough. I'm like, I want to know more.
Well, you can look on Hendricks.com. I have a more extensive biography. And, you know, I'd be happy to share more with you. But, that, you know, that might come up as we're talking.
Yeah, I trust that it will. So today we decided to talk about a body intelligence approach to relating. So can you first explain to us what that means?
Well, most people think of relationships as two heads, you know, talking to each other, pushing on each other, and don't really understand that relationship, what I call the relationship dance, is a dance of movement, and that it's basically built on our impulses to get close, what we call your urge to merge or to experience unity, and your urge to individuate. And that healthy relationships actually have an ongoing dance of separateness and closeness that's unique to both individuals, and it's unique to the relationship, and it's unique to the journey of that relationship. And so movement can give us so much information about how do you give and receive attention? How do you express what you want? What do you do with feelings? How do feelings show up in you? What do you do when something goes wrong? Do you blame each other or blame yourself? Or are you more oriented toward really supporting each other and valuing and respecting each other? And all of those show up in movement. So when I'm working with a couple, or even working with, I have a group that is only for couples. And it is so much fun because we get to see the relationship dance of each of the couples. And then all of the couples get to learn from that. Oh, that's what I do. When you're coming after me, I make you chase me. Or when you're coming after me, I don't want you. But then when you move away, I come after you. And all of those patterns show up so much more powerfully in movement, and they don't show up often at all if you're just talking about it. And so most traditional relationship coaching or therapy is talking. And if you don't get people moving, you have no idea really what's going on.
Yeah. And you can see it so much quicker in movement. It just comes out right away.
Right. And they can see it too. And so one of the things I have done often is do 2 minutes of videoing of the couple moving. I might give them just a very easy structured assignment of just move closer to each other and further away as you want to. And then we just video that for 2 minutes. And then we take a look at everything that we can learn from that 2 minutes of video.
Do you have any kind of case stories that you can share around this? Like,
oh, well,
I'm sure you have a bunch, but
I have a bunch, but I think one of the things that happens so frequently that's so surprising is that people say, I had no idea that that's how you felt. And also, oh, that's exactly what we do. And so one of the things that turns up a lot is, when do people withhold their attention from each other? That's really a key movement, because attention is really the currency of relationship. And so a lot of what couples do is withhold their attention, have conditions on their attention. And that's one of the things that shows up right away in movement. So we can look at, are you actually expressing what you want and what you're requesting from each other? Or are you thinking that they can read your mind? But when you're just talking about it, what you do is just talk about what you're talking about. But when you actually move, people get, when you turned away, I could feel this. I felt this kind of in my chest. And I realized, I get scared when you turn away. And then I sort of chase after you and get clingy. Or someone will do what I call sort of what I've seen on British mysteries is the British mystery response, where one of the partners will say, how are you? What's going on? The other will say, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine. And so we take words also and translate those into, what would that be like if you were moving that? What would it be like if you let your body express that? Or where are you feeling that in your body? So we're always going to the language of the body, because it gives people so much more to work with. If you're just working from your head, you're basically working with stories that the culture has made up about relationships, like you have to compromise and, you know, have your fun now, because after you're married, it's all over. And so we move through those myths, and that people find out when they actually are breathing and moving and relating to each other, relationship can become discovery rather than just, you know, putting up with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And the community that I work with is primarily women who are working on healing trauma so that they can have healthy, lasting relationships. And I see a lot of these discussions happening in my community as well. And I wanted to ask you, you know, there's a lot of questions around, but I'm trying to communicate everything, you know, I'm saying all the things that I need to say. I've tried it in different ways, and there's still doesn't seem to be any shift. And I wonder how you feel about that. If you see things arising around saying something in words, but the body presents something completely differently.
Well, I actually play with that with people, because that's what we call a flag. In our book, At the Speed of Life, we dive a lot into flags, because they're so helpful, because what's going on here may be very different than what's going on in your body. So what I often will do is have them exaggerate both of them. So for example, with the I'm fine, just to say I'm fine and say it in lots of different ways, and then notice what happens to your body, and then do the, if I weren't fine, what else might be going on? What else might I be experiencing? And what I notice is that the big block to healthy relationships is how people are pretty much in a fear trance. And we've learned to be scared of each other. You know, men and women especially have been taught to be scared of each other. And when you're scared, what happens in your brain is that the other person looks like the enemy. And so one of the big issues in a relationship is having people get willing to resolve the issue. So that's one of the very first things I will do, is to say, we'll kind of outline what's going on and maybe move with that some, and then find out, would you be willing to resolve this? Would you be willing to open up to a thriving relationship? Would you be willing to resolve the blame and criticism? Or, you know, would you be willing to, and then we see what happens, because sometimes, you know, actually very often, one person wants to and the other person doesn't. And so that's where we would start with, I don't want to. Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. No, I don't want to. So then that gets into the whole dynamic of one person taking more than 100% responsibility and the other person being the, you have to come get me. And then they get to actually see the dynamic that's been hidden and get to make new choices about it. But if you try to do it just from talking about it, it tends to just be kind of circular, you know, a circular dead end. You know, you get into a cul-de-sac and then just keep circling around.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going on in the relationship. It's the same words, the same stories. And
yeah.
Maybe there's movement, but it's all happening in a circle. And then it's just as soon as you put it into the body movement, it's like there's a shift. And we can
exactly.
go in the direction. It's amazing.
And then also people get to experience discovery. So I think one of the myths about relationship is that it's same old, and you kind of get to know your partner and then everything goes downhill. And what I've seen both in my own relationship, but also working in with thousands of people, is that when you enter into a willingness to learn with your partner, a willingness to discover, that you can keep learning about yourself and keep opening up new dynamics in your relationship really lifelong. And that it really happens, the relationship dynamic can change really one choice at a time, you know, because a lot of times people get, oh, it's so bad, it looks hopeless, you know, so I see what's possible, but we're so stuck that they forget that it really all happens one shift at a time, one choice at a time. And so that's one of the things that I help people to celebrate, is that all of our relationships, including our relationship with ourselves, really start with just making one shift. And so it could be, instead of, could be, okay, change that to how you'd really like to be moving into your relationship and let your body lead, and then see what kinds of choices come out of that. And what often comes up for people is that they get scared to go into the unknown, to try something new. And a lot of times they'll go back through what we call the upper limit problem. They'll experience things going well, and then they'll bring themselves back to a more familiar level rather than dealing with the, whoa, this is so new, I don't quite know what to do, that kind of fear.
Right. So it's almost like when there's staleness or a sense of feeling bored or stuck in the marriage or in the relationship, whatever it is, it's uncomfortable, but it's also familiar, and it makes it comfortable in that sense, because the fear of it emerging or going in a different way is actually stronger than the frustration of it being stuck.
Yes. And also, I think people basically aren't used to enjoying a lot of creative energy. That we're, I think for most people throughout their whole life, the culture is going, stop that, do this differently, follow these rules, don't act like that, don't be too much, don't cry, don't, you know, so it's a, you know, and so when people start opening up, is, whoa, it's a lot of free space. So one of the things that I play with people is how to create safety when you're moving into the unknown. And the wonderful thing about movement is that everything can be explored in movement. So one of my specialties is taking concepts like commitment and turning them into movement processes. And people may not realize, but all of our relationship books have movement activities in them, because that's what allows you to actually embody the concepts. And so I have a whole process for what is a commitment and how do you make a commitment? And then how do you recommit? And those kinds of skills are really essential for creating a healthy relationship. But most people think that the only thing I need to learn how to do is keep my mouth shut and compromise, which is kind of antithetical to really having fun in your relationship. But it also leads to all of these mythologies, you know, because we've been doing the relationship work for over 40 years now. And the mythologies about relationship are strong and, you know, pervasive. And so people look at, you know, like people look at us and they, you know, there is this kind of, how are you, or they'll say, oh, it's easy for you because you have a good relationship. You know, like we just fell into it.
Yeah. Or are you, do you really have the relationship that you're presenting?
Right. Right. Come on, let's take you a little backstage here and see what is really going on. And so we, one of the great things about movement and playing with movement, and by the way, before I met my husband, Gay, I met him in 1980, and he got very, very interested in some of the first dance therapy groups that were created out on the West Coast. And he really wanted to have a partnership with a person who loved to dance. And this was before he met me. So we had a mutual interest in the language of the body, he coming more through breathing and me more through moving, but finding the joy of discovering together really does allow you to keep enhancing the relationship journey and your own creativity really lifelong.
Yeah, and something you were speaking of, that everything can be explored and discovered in movement. Also, if you, there are endless, infinite ways that we can move, right? Like even if we repeat a same movement that we did yesterday and the day before, it will carry a different emotion. It will carry a different quality and image. And so you actually always could keep things interesting within yourself and in your relationship, because it's always new. It's always different. You can always explore something new.
Yes. And one of the things that was just occurring to me as you were saying that is one of the great joys for me is that I can be completely unedited. So whatever I'm experiencing, whatever is going on for me, I can share that with Gay. I had no idea that that experience was possible on the planet, to be completely myself in the presence of someone else. And I think that's a lot of what movement exploration can give us, is a sense of both our own uniqueness and how our own uniqueness really supports the liveliness and the co-creation of our relationship. You know, that we are really forming a third entity, which is the relationship itself. And we're each contributing to that. And it has its own life, while each of us are having our own individual journeys. And so all of those things can be happening in the relationship field that really enhance. So one of the things people forget, and I think it's really most critical in relating, is that my own relationship with myself is so essential to my being able to bring myself fully into a relationship with another. So my own creative individuation, am I doing what I want? Am I sacrificing for the relationship, you know, and making myself smaller, or trying to make the other person more important, or getting caught in competition? But if I'm really like expressing myself fully, then I bring my full self to the relationship. And that is also, it creates variety, but it's also incredibly engaging. You know, it's sexy, you know, it creates new energy, it creates interest and variety, which all relationships need.
Right. And like daring and spontaneous and bold and all those words are coming to me too. And yeah. I think it's true. Like you cannot expect your relationship to feel alive and fiery and passionate if you cannot even feel that in your body. And so it's that concept of, yes, full, what you were saying about being your full unedited self. If you're not comfortable with that in yourself, or you haven't even experimented with that, right? Because if we just stick to words, if we only experience ourselves through the mind, we're totally missing out this whole other side. Like, I don't know, like I could do this, and that's what I want to do right now. That's how I want to express myself right now.
And I have so much fun assisting people to find their movement self, you know, to find their movement signature and how they like to express themselves. And through structured activities, but then also through more spontaneous activities. And what I find is that if I express a genuine interest, if I'm willing to presence myself with another, and then we connect, and then there's this moment of what wants to happen that I call the presence, connect, play pattern. And in relationship, what often happens is that one of those three has gotten some kind of disturbance. So there isn't, people don't really give yourself, don't give each other attention. They might sort of miss each other. Like one of the things Gay and I used to do is that he would start talking to me when I was walking out the room.
All right, we're back. We had a little location change for those of you who are watching on video. And you were actually just saying that you discovered you had this pattern that one of you talks to each other out when you're leaving the room, right?
That was so funny that Gay came in right when I was saying that we discovered this pattern, this relationship pattern, that he would start telling, I would hear this voice. You know, I was going from one part of the house to the other, and I hear this voice, and I realized that he had started talking to me, but he hadn't actually connected with me first before he started talking. And so we would often, until we really decided to change that pattern. So we first would go like, okay, we presence ourselves, because if I had presenced myself, I would have known that he wasn't in the room when I started talking to him. And then we connect, and then we see what it is that wants to happen. So it's maybe talking about something, but it may be an expression of appreciation. You know, it may be some spontaneous thing. Gay will, one of the things that he does, because he knows I love it, is he does these spontaneous dances. He'll do, you know, a dance, his own dance to spring, or he'll, you know, when he comes back from being with one of his friends, their celebration of, you know, being on their bicycles, and he'll do that in movement rather than talking to me about it. So we've both learned how to communicate in ways that give more joy and appreciation to each other rather than just communicating information.
That's so important. That reminds me of, I didn't know, it's so important when you learn with your partner too, these movements, these different movement behaviors that you do. And I didn't realize I did this pattern that I would say something to my husband, Aaron, and I would be like, da, 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 da. Like I would, my voice would dissolve and I would look away.
Right, and like, your voice would, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And now he always jokes, he's like, what was that? And I was like, wow, I really do that more than I realize. And it's this fear of rejection coming out. Like, if I don't say what I fully want to say, then, right, I'm afraid to fully use my voice at times.
Yeah, we can find out. And so I think it's the movement of your voice that you were paying attention to, which is, you know, it starts out and then it kind of does what.
And my head away too.
Right. You turn your head away. So we play a lot. I have a lot of activities that I do with people about giving and receiving attention. And what scientists call bids for attention. But we have two cats, but one of our cats is Allie. And one of the things that she started doing from the time she was a kitten is she would be moving along and she would kind of go bustle, bustle, and then she'd lie down. And then we would come and pet her. And we started calling that a flopsy, because she would literally, she'd be going, and then she'd flop over. And that would be her signal that she wanted some attention. And so we'd come over and pet her when she would do that. And so we made a rule in one of our rules in our relationship in our household is never ignore a flopsy. And so in our relationships, I think we all have our own version of a flopsy. And what I actually explore with people is, what do you do when you want attention? How do you ask for attention? And so, and there are all kinds of, well, I shouldn't really need attention, you know, if there's extra, you know, for me. So the actually saying I'm worthy of attention I'm willing to receive attention. So that's another issue for people. That's part of the upper limit problem, is that people are not used to receiving and being able to integrate attention and love. And that fits into the upper limit problem of, you know, culture tells us, you know, just don't be too full of yourself. And, you know, it's better to give than receive. Don't, you know, like, just don't. And so opening up to actually receiving attention and love from another is more challenging for many people than receiving criticism. And so one of the things we also, I think, is so essential in relationship is moving from blame to wonder. And you can explore that in movement by creating a that shifts you from critical brain to wonder brain, that and then noticing if that opens up more space in your body. I also add to that fear melters. I don't know if you, I've created a whole movement sequence called fear melters that I use with couples a lot to help them shift from fear to presence so that they can create together. And that's a whole movement process that people learn. And they really, what we've found is that all problems at the bottom are being run by fear. So befriending fear becomes a really important activity in relationship that allows other things to open up. And one of the central fears is, I'm afraid that if I tell you what's really going on, it's going to hurt your feelings, or I'm afraid I'm just going to cry forever. It has a lot to do with our culture's inability to really honor people's feelings.
Right. And I have two questions along with that. One is, before you mentioned the fear of trance between men and women, I was wondering if you see the same pattern in same-sex relationships or gender-neutral relationships. And then the kind of other question that goes with it is, you know, I want to bring the biggest objection that I get in my work is, but what if my partner doesn't want to give me the attention?
That's what we call the big question. So the first question, give me the first question again, because I'm now involved with the second question. Just the
same-sex relationships are...
Yes. So we've been working with couples, same-sex couples, both lesbian, gay, and, you know, gender fluidity for, you know, the whole time that we've been working. So for 40 years. And what we found in our newest relationship book, Conscious Loving Ever After, has a lot of examples of same-sex couples and how they're working with these dynamics. So what we have found is, not only are the dynamics the same, but the dynamics are the same in non-romantic relationships. So what we're calling, you know, conscious loving or conscious relating applies to business and friendship. You know, the same dynamics apply, and particularly how we're giving and receiving attention. And so the second question there is the biggest question that we get and that we've gotten when we give presentations or, you know, are working with a group, which is, what if I want to and he or she or they don't? Mm-hmm. So I want to grow and they don't, you know, or they're scared to, or, you know, and that's where the commitment comes in. So are you willing to, first, do you want to? Then are you willing to, and actually, what does willingness feel like? And then committing is really stepping in. Are you willing to step fully in? And of course, you don't know. So the one of the big fears is, I want a guarantee. I'm willing to jump in, but, you know, I want to make sure that this is going to work. And we, of course, don't know that. But the only way you find out, I like to use the analogy of committing or resolving a problem, it would be the same thing as standing on the side of a swimming pool when you want to learn how to swim. And as long as you're standing on the side of the pool, you're not ever going to learn how to swim. That the first committing is getting in the pool. And then when you get in the pool, you find out what you need to learn, but you don't get to find that out until you actually get in the game. And so one of the big issues for a lot of people is what we call limbo, that one or both people are not really fully in. So they might have one foot out the back door, or they're kind of in there halfway, but looking for something better, or have conditions. So they're not fully in until you make more money or lose that 10 pounds so their love is conditional. And that is a very, very common dynamic. So that's where I really ask, are you willing to resolve this? And, what might it look like if this issue were no longer a problem? What would you be doing? Mm-hmm. And then and how we can move that too is I'd like you both to move through the room the way you see yourself moving through your relationship right now. And then a second one would be, I'd like you to both move, or I have them take turns. I'd like you to move closer to and further away from your partner in the way you think they want you to. So that starts getting into the patterns that they might have learned or the things they're assuming they've never talked about. And then I'd like you to move through the room the way you would be moving if you were fully enjoying your relating with each other and you felt fully connected and able to be yourself. And so the key there is that when we start adding movement, we bring this whole dynamic of aliveness and intelligence that we just can't do it all in our brain, because our brain, does a lot of functions, but mostly what it does is keep things out. So it doesn't allow things in. It says, no, don't respond to that. Don't respond to that. Don't pay attention to what your liver is doing.
Yeah, so important. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
All the things that you're sharing, are there ways, how can the listeners either access it? Like, do you do this through courses or through live events? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. I'm planning to do, one never knows right now, but I'm planning to do my first live event in 2 years in February. We'll be doing a couples course here in Ojai, where I live here in California near Santa Barbara. But right now our courses are online. And in fact, we have coming up our Conscious Loving Advanced Training, which contains all of the information about what we've learned in the past 40 plus years about creating a relationship that really works, and it's designed for coaches and professionals. And people can find out about that on hendrix.com. We have two websites. We have our nonprofit website, which is full of free videos about all aspects of life, including fear and relationships and creativity. And that's foundationforconsciousliving.org. And our seminars are in hendrix.com, which is hendrics.com. And we have our seminars listed there, but both of our websites have free videos about relationships. And on hendrix.com, if you type in Conscious Loving Ever After in the search engine, it will bring up a series of videos that I created that explore the material that's in Conscious Loving Ever After. So we have a YouTube channel that has a whole bunch of videos. We've been at this for a long time, so we have a large body of work, but you can just dive right into that. We have a Facebook page that's called Hearts in Harmony that has daily relationship tips. And we also have online programs that we developed, including Conscious Loving. Conscious Loving Every Day, that are 180 videos that are just 3 to 5 minute videos that give you a relationship tip every day. And that's, you can find that on our website too. It's carried by a company called Hearts in Harmony. So we have lots of ways that people can connect with us, and lots of materials to help people really discover what I think is one of the greatest adventures on the planet, which is close relationship. And the great joy and discovery and co-creativity that we can invent through our relationships.
Yes, I share that passion with you. And
I think it's so, that's so generous and amazing that you have all this content out there that people can engage with and learn from. This is so important to help people, help couples, help all kinds of relationships start communicating and expressing through the body and movement.
Yes, I agree. And just to note, we all have these amazing bodies that are always developing and expressing and, you know, full of creativity. And why not use our whole body intelligence rather than just a small part of our brain?
Yeah, I always say that our bodies are the vehicle for which we behave, act, and interact in this world. And so,
absolutely. They're the medium of our expression. They're the medium of our aliveness. And so, you know, valuing and developing them can really go on lifelong. And so thank you for how you're adding to that. And I have right here, I have a cat who is accompanying. They like to be around when we're sharing with people.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we close the episode?
Well, what I would say is no matter where you are, just make one new choice today that expresses something that you really want. You know, like let yourself open up, or let yourself close up and really go into your nest, or let yourself change something in your same old, so that you get, you know, aliveness is possible anytime.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Katie.
Yeah, thank you so much.